Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Safero.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing this afternoon? Are you good?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
Very well, thank you. I hope that your day has been good, man.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Fantastic. I'm great. I'm grateful to hear that. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that God is our Father, a good, perfect, and loving Father. Now, human fathers may fail us, but we have a Father in heaven who loves us with a perfect, unconditional love. Now, Christ taught us to call him our Father. He exists in eternal and mysterious unity with the Son and the Holy Spirit as one Godhead, and is the source of everything in existence. And this is how we have what we've been made to understand. Now, Pastor, who is God the Father? Whose Father is he, like, truly and honestly?
All right. Firstly, I think it's important for us to establish that when we talk of God the Father, or rather the broader subject of God, in terms of who God is, it is important for us to understand that, as the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 tells us, that we are interacting with a hidden or deep mystery. The Bible begins by telling us that in the beginning, God, and even as you go deeper into the original rendering of that word, you realize that it's actually a plural term, which is God. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, God created. So the Bible makes this distinction. It talks of God the Father. It talks of God the Son. It talks of the Holy Spirit. Now, zooming into the question of who now the Father is, when you go to the Old Testament, the more common or general understanding or definition of who God is, or rather the more common name for God, is Yahweh. The Hebrews believed that when we talk of God, we are talking of Yahweh, who is the source of all life and all existence, and he is the self-existent one. And that is who God is. That is who the Father is. Yeah. And I think even throughout then the Bible, even the Old Testament, it's littered with this metaphoric expression of God as Father. I mean, an example is what we find in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 10, which tells us that we have one Father and Creator, which is the Lord God. And then Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, which tells us that God is Father, and that we are his children, we are as clay, he is the potter, you know.
Mm. Is it intentional that God is having a gender? I mean, I'm not sure if he's always had a gender. I think Christ comes with the concept of him being a father in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, he's referred to as the Creator, Yahweh. That's it. There's no gender to it. And that resonates with Africans who would call him different names. Others would say Kamata, Mwari, and all of those names, Mvelingangi, etc., which are not gender, specific. And here we are saying he is the Father. What's the purpose of putting or limiting Christ to a gender, human gender?
Mm-hmm. I think it's there in the Bible. That's made an allusion to God as a father. We have not seen God. Even Christ himself makes that statement. but he says that he is this the revelation and the expression of who and what the Father or rather what the Father is. Mm-hmm. He Christ himself mm-hmm. makes reference to God the Father. He talks of God as a father, you know, and even the Old Testament, I think the references or rather the examples that we have been, I've just cited from Malachi 2, from Isaiah 64:8, they make reference to God as a father. Mm-hmm. But I do not believe that this is in any what way limiting God. I think it is God revealing himself in the best possible way for men to comprehend. That is why he would be likened. In fact, you go to the book of Revelation where John is struggling to reveal or show us what God looked like and what Christ looked like. And he's there saying he's like, his beards are like wool. He uses humanly language to try and express this mystery. And he keeps on using these terms. He is like, his feet were like, this was like. Which basically means it's not necessarily that substance. Mm-hmm. He's just trying to give us a picture, to paint a picture in our heads and in our minds of that which he was seeing.
Yeah. Now, Muruti, if he is the father of Christ, of Jesus, this would suggest, therefore, that there is a beautiful hierarchy there that exists, that he is superior to Jesus because he is his father, like your father would be superior to you. Not so?
Yeah. In terms of relation, we understand that a son is obedient to the father and quote unquote inferior. he's not older. His father precedes him.
Subservient.
But rather when you come to the relation of Christ, in fact, let's go to a common text, the book of John chapter 3 verse 16. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. When you do a deeper word study on that text, you learn that when the Bible says he is the only begotten, it's not referencing to numerical value only, as in the sense of he is an only son, but it is actually making reference to the fact that he is unique of his own kind and unlike any other. You know, and you go to other texts of scripture, such as John chapter 1, and it tells you that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and this Word created, all things were created by him, and nothing was made that was made, and that now he is before creation, he precedes everything, he precedes time, or rather creation as we know it. He is in the beginning with God, and he is God. So we learn that they are one, and more especially the book of John is littered with that affirmation. Christ continues to say that I and my Father are one. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he is pointing, or rather moving our minds away from the notion that he is a son in the sense of how we know a father and son relationship in the world that requires a father, a man and a woman to come together and bear a son, and the son then becomes obedient and junior to the father. But his relationship with God, as we know God, or as we read of God, is not that of an earthly father and son relationship.
Yeah, a bit complicated, I must say. quite unusual. Now, did God the Father create the world and humanity?
Mm-hmm. The Bible does say that. The Bible tells us that God created. And how did he create? He created through the agency of the Son. I think we can read together in the Bible. Maybe let's read the book of Colossians. Colossians 2:9 that talks of Christ as in him being the embodiment. Maybe let's start with Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:20 says, the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity. All things are created by who? By God. But through who? Through Christ. That is what the Bible tells us, that God creates. But how does God create? Christ is the active agent in this creation process.
Didn't he create Christ first? Because the Bible says he's the firstborn of all creation.
Did he not what?
Create Christ first, since the Bible says he is the firstborn of all creation?
It takes me back to the point that we just made reference to. Because if you are going to take it at face value and say he is the firstborn of all creation, then we can then start asking questions such as, how is he born? Who is he born to? As in, where is the mother in this? Because in creation, as we know it, we come into being by my father and my mother meeting, and I come into being. But he is points to preeminence, to the fact that he comes before all this, not necessarily that he is born of God.
I see. All right. Now, what are some of the characteristics of the Father?
Yeah. Let's turn to the book of Exodus chapter 34.
Sorry, which book? So which book?
Exodus chapter 34.
Exodus, okay, right.
Yes, from verse 6 through to 7. In that one, or in those two texts, we find several characteristics of God. We find compassion, we find grace, we find love, we find faithfulness, we find forgiveness, we find justice. The Bible refers to God as a God of compassion. I know that we're going to possibly, as the days come, touch on that particular subject matter, but God is portrayed as a compassionate, gracious, a loving, a faithful, a forgiving, and a just God, a just Father. And I think that this stands in contrast to, like you made a reference to in the previous question, that now the relationships that we have with our earthly fathers, because, some of us have very estranged relationships with our fathers. Why? Because we do not feel love from them. We do not see justice in them. We see unfaithfulness in them. But when we turn to our Heavenly Father, we see all these positive virtues or characters in him.
Beautiful stuff. Well, my pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through this particular moment and, talking to us about this subject. And yes, indeed, we are going to be continuing tomorrow and Friday, but looking at this, subject of God, who is our Father. But for today, I must thank you so much for coming through. It's a fantastic one. Blessings to you and the family.
Thank you. God bless you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.